Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Say, kids, what time is it?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
And when I throw it to you and you go, I don't have a...
Ew.
Jeff Lutz.
There you go again with the fake voice when you have nothing to say.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Are you ready?
Stand by for action.
Hello again, everybody. It is the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. A brand new time slot, a brand new feel, a brand new discomfort at the age that I am. But we're going to make it work. It's Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz with you for the next couple hours. Those couple of hours now, 5 to 7 p.m. here on KFH Radio. Jeff?
What is up?
We've been off for a couple hours.
A tremendous... Monday.
I wish you'd bounce this stuff
to
off
to you.
Me.
8-6. 8-6. What do we have?
I wish you'd bounce this stuff off of me.
Why?
Because that was lame.
Why would I ever do that?
Because. Well, that doesn't
on
matter.
This air.
We're on the air from 5
I
to
understand
7.
That.
Our guests today are CJ Moore from The Athletic. Covers college basketball. He'll join us at 5:25. Following that, we'll talk with Valley Center High School boys coach Brandon Wolf. They're undefeated. They play fellow undefeated Arc Valley Chisholm Trail Division I member Derby coming up tomorrow night in what should be a good battle. And then later in the show at 6:25 today, Travis Hying, how do you say his last name?
Hying,
and Jamie Green. I only worked there for 700 years. Photojournalist from the Wichita Eagle. They have done a documentary on the Jackie Robinson statue theft from McAdams Park and League 42. And that documentary is out. It's available to see on Kansas.com. And coming up very soon, on February 8th, it was announced today, the documentary, More Like Jackie, will be shown at 5 p.m. at the Orpheum Theater. Tickets go on sale for that shortly if they haven't already. And we're excited to get that documentary up on the big screen in front of a big crowd. And I can tell you, the vibe I'm getting is it's going to be a big crowd.
I sure hope so. I've already seen the film, and it was quite good.
You're not going to come on the 8th?
I'm not sure. What day of the week is that?
It's a Saturday.
That's the day before the Super Bowl.
Right.
Huh. Interesting.
Why is that interesting?
I don't know. It's just interesting.
Why? Well, what's interesting about it?
It's the day before the Super Bowl. It's
okay.
It's an interesting time of the year.
Hmm. Does that mean you're not
going? A week after the Royal Rumble? If it was Royal Rumble Day, we might have problems.
Does that mean you're not coming?
Yeah, I'm up in the air. I'll probably come.
Really?
I'll probably.
Up in the air.
I'll probably show up.
You haven't changed, man, in the 2 weeks we've been out. I kind of hoped you would.
Did you expect me to?
No, and it's the bad parts that haven't changed.
The good parts haven't either.
I read all these resolutions. Oh, I'm going to be better to family. And
I don't think I said quite those exact words.
And I see nothing changed.
Really? Well, it's only day 6.
What have you changed?
I've been going to the...
You put out 11 things.
I mean, yeah, I'm taking it slow. We got a whole year.
Are they still all alive? Are they still... viable, or have some of them fallen by the wayside?
You don't fall by the wayside. You keep working at it every day. That's the beauty of a New Year's resolution. You don't necessarily have to do it every day, but you have to.
Some of them have fallen off.
No, they're not falling off.
You're not going to pay attention to them.
Like what?
Because I know you.
But like what?
I don't know. I don't remember what all of them
were.
Well,
then you must not really.
You want me to go into it?
Sure, yeah, I do.
All right, let's read your resolutions. It's going to take me a minute here.
Well, it's like the first thing on my page.
Yeah, but I'm on my League 42 page right now.
Well, that's fine. You can still search for me, and it'll be right there. I had, 10, 11? And again, These aren't all resolutions that I have to achieve on day one. They're things I'd like to get to.
I'll give you my ideas on how many of these you'll actually come up and do.
Okay.
Volunteer at the Humane Society. I'll rate them 1 to 10.
How about percentage?
No, 1 to 10. Same thing.
Yeah.
I give that a 5.
It's 50-50. That's not bad.
Restart drum lessons. Probably a 7. You'll probably do that.
I don't know. That one, I'm looking into it. I don't know. It's hard to take adult lessons because I'm not horrible. I would start from a point of not a beginner. So I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
You'll probably do that. I'm giving that a 7. Although it sounded like I should downgrade that.
Well, I just don't know. I've looked into it, and I just don't know.
Spend much less time on phone, minus 7. There's no way.
I've done that so far.
You won't. Spend more time reading books. That coincides with the phone. I'll give it a 3.
I'm already reading.
Set aside one-on-one time with Shannon. I hope it's a 9. I'll give it a 7.
Thanks.
Have you done that yet?
We're working on it. We do that.
Save money, reduce frivolous spending. I don't know what you spend frivolously. I can't get you to pay a dime.
We paid for your breakfast on Christmas Eve.
I'd say that's a 4. Join the YMCA. What does that say? Swim often?
Yeah.
2.
No, that's a 9.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you done it?
Yeah.
You've done it?
Yes.
When do you have time to do that?
I'll go after the show today.
Really?
Yeah, I'm meeting my wife there at 4:15.
Well, there you go.
Or, 7:15 is when we're meeting.
There you go. Well, 4:15. We're recording the show, which is our new normal.
Yes.
And we're doing that from 2 to 4, which was our time slot. And then at 3 o'clock every day, which you won't know until you listen to the show. This is all, it's like being in a warp movie. At 3 o'clock every day, we'll take phone calls.
Sure.
And we're calling that segment, instead of Jive Talk, our Town Hall segment.
Anything goes.
Yeah. Drastically reduce junk food consumption, especially sweets. 6.
Yeah, I'm at a 6 probably right now for that one.
Write more long-form stories.
Let's hear it, man. Just say what you think.
4.
Really?
Restart KWCH podcast with production help.
That's low. That's very low.
Why is that low?
Because without getting into too many details, the person who would probably be able to help me with the production element of that will be taking quite a bit of time off later on this year.
Well, maybe you find someone else who can help. Or you have that person teach you.
Yeah, that's either that or she'll be back in July. She goes from April to July. I think everybody probably understands why at this point. But
I'd have that person teach you how to do it.
It's
that way you're not dependent upon someone.
Could be.
Nurture friendships and family relationships. Well,
10.
Judging from this beginning, 0.
Really? Already?
You might nurture a friendship out there.
Well, maybe. I'm working on it.
Whose friendship do you need to nurture?
Everybody's. Really? I want everybody to make sure they know I'm there.
Have you reached out to anyone?
Yeah.
With a kind message?
Sure.
Give me an example.
David Michael Hahn, my good friend.
David Michael Hahn. What'd you say to David Michael Hahn?
I was just making sure he got through the holidays okay.
Didn't check on us.
His mental health was...
Did you check on us?
Oh, your mental health. It's not worth checking on.
My wife, did you check in on her?
I think so, didn't we?
No, so that's a 0.
It is? Well, we're still only 6 days in. Remember that.
Very ambitious.
It doesn't say goals for January 6th or January or winter.
Where are you on the Joe Hour? On the Joe Hour story?
I've transcribed all...
You'll have to re-interview him.
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
When did you do that?
Saturday.
Where'd you go for that?
I just did it over the phone. It was a few clarifying questions and then a few questions.
What did he say?
I texted him.
I don't know if I want...
I texted him before and said, hey, I'm sorry, but
this has been in the works for 2 years, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff had done the original interview thinking he was going to publish this story on the winningest high school basketball coach in City League history, and then never got around to it. So now apparently he's trying to right that wrong, and I hope it happens.
Yeah, I interviewed Brian Chadwick today, his longtime former assistant coach. He's the coach at Derby now. I've reached out to Evan Wessel, Mike Pelfrey, and Darren Dreifert.
Did you talk to Darren Dreifert?
I heard back from him. I'm calling him tomorrow at some point.
There
and
you go.
I'll talk with his parents and maybe his brothers.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
When do you hope to get this story?
I would love to have it. Let's see. Next week, I'm going to try to do another story, but I'll still be working on this one. Probably have everything, hopefully, transcribed by the end of next week. So you're looking at the following Sunday, three Sundays from yesterday.
Three Sundays from yesterday.
So the 26th, 27th.
Aren't they in, I think that's the week after tournament week. Be good to get it out there the week of tournament.
I'll do my best, but the 27th, the Monday, is looking pretty good right now.
If I was your editor, I'd say I'd like it for tournament week.
Well, thank goodness I don't have an editor.
Maybe I should be.
We did have our new news director start today. Everything's starting today. January 6th is the turnover of the new leaf part of the year.
I gave our office manager, nobody had to go into the office today.
How about that?
Am I a good boss or what?
Oh, just amazing.
Well, I mean, the roads are still not great, right?
Not great. I wouldn't make anybody get out, but, you know, when are they going to be better? We got to treat those roads.
Tomorrow they'll be better.
Let's hope.
Tomorrow we're all back to work, but today gave the folks another day.
I'm sure
a couple of them are working from home, as did I. But that's okay. We can work from home.
I'm sure the youngsters who got another day off of school were pretty happy. So it worked out.
I was thinking about back to my youth, and I know it's completely different. And I don't have great recall for a lot of that kind of stuff. I was trying to think of, did we ever get a snow day? I'm pretty sure we did, but it doesn't seem like there were very many. It seems like it really had to be something for there to
be
a snow day.
Seems like you would have in something like this.
The difference is there's not a lot of busing that went on where I went to school in Derby. So in that regard, I can understand it. I had half a block to go to school. Now, others had a longer distance, but it was okay. I put my galoshes on. They had galoshes in the day. Did you ever wear a pair of galoshes?
Probably not, but who knows?
I wore them all the time. It was a required thing for kids. We all had galoshes.
Excellent.
I can almost remember what mine looked like.
They were probably pink?
No, they were brown.
Brown, even worse.
And they had the little snap.
I don't even really know what galoshes are, to be honest.
I know you don't. I can tell.
I've heard the word, but show me a galosh. I won't be able to
look them up,
identify it.
We all had galoshes in that era.
I'm sure you did. And since when has Valley Center been a Division I member of the Art Valley?
This year.
This is a good call.
Their enrollment's grown. But anyway, nowadays, you're off school when it snows.
When it snows a lot, yeah.
Or when it snows. Or when it's cold.
When it's bitterly, dangerously cold.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying that when I was a kid, I don't recall that.
And there are remote learning options. I don't know how many schools take advantage of that, but...
Well, I didn't have remote learning options.
Oh, really? You didn't?
I learned at home.
Nor did I.
I learned from being, you know, observant. So a day off for me from school didn't mean I wasn't learning. I was learning.
What were you learning?
About a lot of stuff, especially the stuff that interested me.
Well, yeah, that's what people pursue typically.
Right. Music and sports. I learned a lot, I'm sure. If I had a day off from school... I'm sure I immersed myself in music and sports.
You weren't learning anything that had to do with school.
Maybe not.
Let's just put it that way.
Although I did love to go, as you know, As you know, I've told you a million times.
You like construction.
I did love to look at our encyclopedias, and I did like to look at our atlas, and I was very much into geography and that kind of stuff.
Where would you go in the encyclopedia?
Just look.
Pete Rose.
We had an old, I can't even remember the brand of encyclopedia we had. But in those days, I don't think we ever had encyclopedia.
World Book?
No, we didn't have World Book. Those were too expensive.
Definitely didn't have Britannica.
No. This was a black cover with some red trim. But it was a good, it was, you know, fine.
It was an encyclopedia.
That's what I needed. And my parents were good enough to buy a set of encyclopedias.
Yeah, I didn't have those at my house growing up.
Well, we didn't need them.
We didn't?
No, I gave up on you early.
Thank you. Best thing that ever happened to me.
I knew you'd never look at them.
What do you mean?
You're not inquisitive like I was.
Oh, please. Get over yourself. That's ridiculous.
It's not that ridiculous.
It's pretty ridiculous.
I think I'm a little more inquisitive.
Based on what?
Just knowing how I am. Like, I can't watch a show.
Dude, we're pretty similar. I don't know
and by the,
why
no,
you...
I don't think we are.
Trust me.
And by the way, we watched a ton of movies during the break, especially the last week. A ton.
Great.
I think eight. And I can't watch a movie without being piqued by, what's this person done? How old is this person? How do I know that person?
Okay, welcome to everybody.
No, nobody does that.
Yeah, everybody does that.
I don't think you do.
Every time, this is a general rule for everybody. Every time you think you're unique at something, you're not. A lot of people do.
I'm not
do
saying
it.
Nobody does it, but I've never seen you look up something.
You've never seen it? I'll invite you over next time I look up something.
Name something you looked up.
Everything. What do you mean? I don't know. Look up things all the time.
Did you watch the Golden Globe Awards?
I watched Nikki Glaser's monologue.
The NFL game wasn't very good last night.
I watched Nikki Glaser's monologue.
Watched, funny.
Watched a couple of awards.
I realized
I didn't know or care anybody who was presenting, or except The Rock. I saw The Rock, and he'll be on Netflix tonight on Monday
yeah,
Night
don't
Raw.
I care about that.
We'll have a long segment about that
no,
later.
No, we're not talking
really?
About that. I don't care about it.
Yes, you do.
I really don't.
Why?
I just don't. I just don't.
You don't like wrestling anymore? When it's really good now?
I wouldn't say I don't like it, but I'm not hung up on it.
Well, I am.
I know you are.
I'm excited about tonight. You'll watch Raw right after this show ends.
Will I?
Most people will, I assume.
I don't know. I don't know if I'll watch it or not.
I'm excited.
I probably will just because it's on Netflix, I guess. I don't know.
Well, we don't need to come over for the Rumble if that's your attitude.
Well, if you don't want to, you don't have to.
We want to. It's just if we're going to be met with that kind of attitude, it's not necessary.
I'm going through a phase right now where it's not as meaningful.
All right. It's really good, though, so I hope. At some point, you take it back up.
We'll see.
That's my hope.
I'm not going to...
That's my goal for you in 2025.
I'm not going to go crazy
watch
on it.
Watch more wrestling.
I got so much else going on that wrestling takes
yeah, you
got to
watch.
Seat.
You got to watch Inside Out 2.
I enjoyed that movie.
I'm sure it was great.
I enjoyed that movie. Conclave was outstanding. There's still a lot I want to watch. The Brutalist won, cleaned up at the awards last night, the Golden Globes, and it looks really good, but it's 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of time. We broke in our new television by watching the best Christmas pageant ever, which is, you know, a little hokey
that's
little
fair that I'm not getting
hokey
into.
Little movie.
I'm a little more advanced than that.
Yeah,
frankly.
But it's just, you know, a family movie that we watch as a
yeah,
family.
Frankly, I'm not there.
And we had a nice little time.
Well, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying that I don't really want to devote my time to that fair.
No, nothing wrong with that. Well, we go with lighthearted fair.
Let's take a break. Max Power back in the booth. We're all adjusting to this new reality of how we're doing our show now. still the same cast. Duda will be in later in the week for the three-man booth. So we've got that going for us. Again, the Bob and Jeff Show now airing from 5 to 7 weekdays here on KFH. We'll be back, and we'll talk with C.J. Moore, college basketball writer from The Athletic.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Oh, I can still remember when I bought my first guitar. Remember walking from the shop to put it proudly in
my car. All right, these are songs from the top 20 back in 1975. 50 years ago now, that's rock and roll. I gave you the best years of my life from Max Davis. Here's C.J. Moore from The Athletic, college basketball writer. C.J., welcome to the show. I don't like saying Happy New Year 6 days in, but I don't talk to you that often, so Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. How are you doing?
We're doing well. So let's start with the teams we're most aware of here in the state of Kansas and start with KU, a very surprising home loss to West Virginia. By the way, West Virginia is much better than anybody thought they would be. But then KU goes on the road yesterday against what we thought was a pretty good Central Florida team and just blew them out. So where are the Jayhawks here in the early part of January?
It's a puzzling team because I don't think you know night in and night out what you're going to get out of Kansas. I think over the last about month, it's been one of the teams that's most, you know, kind of all over the place of anybody that's in that group of like top 20 teams in college basketball. I would say maybe they found something here on Sunday with, really trying to dominate the paint. I thought they threw it inside more than they had the previous handful of games and really kind of established an identity. Like I almost felt like going into that game, I don't know that Kansas really knew who it was and who it could really lean on. Inserting Shaquille Moore into the starting lineup will be a difference maker. And I thought he was really good feeding the post and he was plus 35 in his minutes yesterday. So maybe they found something, but we'll see. I think the schedule kind of sets up decently for them. This week home against Arizona State, that should definitely be a win. And then traveling to Cincinnati, that's kind of struggling. You know, I thought Cincinnati would be pretty good this year, but they're struggling a little bit right now before you have to go to Ames. So, you know, opportunity to get a couple more wins in a row and maybe feel a little bit better about yourself before you go to Ames, which will be, that'll be a tough one.
I'm going to ask you a bigger picture question about Wichita State, because I'm really down on the American Conference as a whole. I know Memphis has had a pretty good year with some quality wins, but is there a path for the American to, in the near-term future, return to a multi-bid league or some sort of national prominence? And does Wichita State have to be at the forefront of that? What are the programs outside of, you know, a year or two like Florida Atlantic had, what are the programs in the American that could get that league back to something worth writing home about?
I would think it'd have to be Wichita State and Florida Atlantic along with Memphis, playing good schedules in the non-conference, performing well, and getting back to where those are. You know, Memphis is there right now, but those other two getting back to, like, top 50 programs. I don't know if what Dustin made it at Florida Atlantic is replicable, but I do think they made a really good hire in John Jacus. And I think John's a really, really smart basketball coach. And I do know that the, you know, there's a lot of money down there and they're behind it. And, you know, as long as he has a respectable year this year, I think they'll continue to support them. So I think it's kind of, you know, I think Wichita State and FAU are the ones that maybe control it. North Texas is pretty good and has a really, really good coach in Ross Hodge, but I'm not sure it has the resources of those other three right now. So I think North Texas will continue to be, like, relevant. And then if, you know, those other three are top 50 programs, then you're looking at, you know, a league that can get multi-bids. But this year, like, you know, I think Memphis will get in, but any other team to have a chance to get in would have to win the league. And I put UAB in that mix too. Yeah, like, UAB has to, you know, be top 75, top 50 year in and year out for the league to kind of get back the respect level that it had when, you know, Houston was performing really well.
CJ Moore with us from The Athletic. I wanted to get a little deeper into Memphis, but my concern is that Memphis is doing everything in its power, and I'm not sure how much power is there. Their football program was much improved this year, and I know that's something they want to sell. I know they'd like to get out of the American. How likely is that to happen in the next year or two? Because I think it's fairly likely.
I just don't know where the buyers are. Like, where do you think they would go?
Why'd you have to ask that, CJ?
I agree. I think their fan base would love to get out, but I don't know. Like, you know, it'd have to be like the Pac-12 or the Mountain West, one of those leagues. And like, let's say you go to the Mountain West, how much better are you really than you already are in the American, where your geography footprint makes a little bit more sense? So I just don't know that there's a taker for Memphis right now.
I guess I kind of thought the ACC, but if you're telling me you think that league is solidified and that they're not going to make any more moves and they're happy with where they are, that's kind of the conference that I thought maybe Memphis and maybe someone else would potentially join. But you're right. The sell of that is more difficult than maybe I'm giving it credit for.
Yeah, I mean, it's we could go down these rabbit holes and try to figure it out. And I think the ACC is probably the most vulnerable of those big leagues right now because, you know, obviously Florida State and Clemson have been trying to get out. But, you know, adding Memphis, I don't know, like, how – solid footing you're on by just making that move and maybe, you know, grabbing one other school. Who would that be? Who knows? But Memphis might be stuck. Like, their chance to make a move has maybe passed. But I could totally
Memphis and UConn
5 months. Yeah. UConn, I don't think UConn's leaving the Big East and anytime soon, unless, you know, I know they flirted with the Big 12, but I just don't see that. I think Dan Hurley's got some power there, and I think his preference would be to stay in the Big East.
So what happened that made the SEC this basketball behemoth with six teams in the top 10, a couple more, a little lower in the AP rankings? We thought that might be the Big 12 with the additions that they made this year. Is this something that has been coming? Is it a product of NIL and the money those schools have? Because it's still a conference that hasn't won a championship since those Florida teams. Is this the year that maybe breaks?
In Kentucky won in 12, but I think it's been coming. I think they've hired the right coaches, and then also they have more NIL than anybody else, and that combination. Like, what matters in college basketball to me is your fan support, who your coach is, and now it's what you're spending on your roster. So you know, the fan support has actually, because they're winning at such a high level, like, you watched the Auburn game the other day, like, that place is jumping, and those fans have jumped on board. Tennessee has always had a pretty good fan base, but because these teams are winning, I think their fans are coming along, and they just have more money than anybody else when it comes to NIL.
CJ Moore with us, college basketball writer from The Athletic. You mentioned the three factors and the third being money. We know how these arms races go. Look at Major League Baseball. It's gotten crazy and gets crazier every year. I think it's going to be the same in college athletics until there's some kind of restraint put in the legal world, and I'm not sure what that would look like. How high can this get? How crazy can it get? We're talking now about extra years for junior college players. We're talking about a fifth year of eligibility for everyone. Where are we headed? Do you have any idea?
Well, I think the House settlement, which will give every school like about $20 million that they can spend in-house, will maybe calm this down a little bit at some places. Like you're going to, you know, divvy up that money, and basketball is going to get what in the big league, probably like $5 million or something like that. But what you're going to have now is everybody outside of what the school can spend, still trying to get up, you know, get money to have extra to go out there, and the arms race will continue, and you know, cheating might be back in college basketball once we get to this, you know, having the collectives move in house. So I don't know. Like it just kind of comes down to like how long do rich guys want to continue to put their money towards buying these really good teams, and when does that become less satisfying? But it seems like rich people always have money to spend. So I think we're going to continue to see quite a, you know, big salaries for these kids as far as NIL and, you know, the SEC, the teams with the biggest salary caps, just like in baseball, biggest salary pools are going to continue to win. And, you know, schools like Wichita State have to, it's almost, you know, I wrote about Iowa State earlier this year, and I kind of did like a money ball type thing with them, and that they've really, they don't have as much to spend as everybody else, but they've been really smart in who they go after and, you know, develop those guys. And that's kind of the model for schools like maybe a Wichita State, schools that have traditionally been pretty good, but maybe don't have the money to spend like the SEC does.
CJ Moore with us. We talked about all the SEC schools that are filtering into the top 10. One's not there yet, Mississippi State, coached by our friend, former Wichita State assistant Chris Jans. They have Vanderbilt tomorrow, and then they have Kentucky, Auburn, Ole Miss, and Tennessee. Can they withstand this this power conference? Are they good enough to really be a contender?
They're pretty good. I don't know what their record will look like at the end of the SEC season. You know, it could be 500 and they could still be one of the top 20 teams in college basketball. Like that's how good the league is, how many opportunities you'll get for quality wins. But I've watched them quite a bit this year. I talked to Chris last week, actually, because I was spitballing a potential of doing a story on them later in the year. But Josh Hubbard, the little guard they have, is almost like the perfect college basketball star because he's 5'11", and not many under six guards make it in the NBA. So you're going to be able to keep him around for quite a bit, and he's just a sophomore. So he, you know, he's their star. He's what it's kind of built around. Chris has done a really good job at getting more shooting. Like he had one of the worst shooting teams in the country his first year there. And they've got, you know, some better offensive players. Their defense isn't as good as it's been in the past, but he's tried to, you know, find more offensively gifted guys. And they're kind of a little bit small and they play a little different than everybody else, but it's working. And a lot of it's built around Josh, and he's awesome. He's been fantastic so far this year.
Just want to ask you real quick about K-State, because they've had a kind of interesting last few weeks, losing those final non-conference games against St. John's and Drake and Wichita State. Then they go and win, well, they at home, they beat Cincinnati, obviously, then lose to TCU. Is that going to be just an up-and-down team to you all year, or is there something that they could do to perhaps find their footing in conference play?
Well, I thought they – in the later stages of that Drake game, which I was at, I thought they started to figure some things out, and the ball was really moving, and they were playing through Coleman Hawkins. They played pretty well, like, the second half of that game. And then I was surprised to see them just go lay an egg at Wichita State. I didn't watch that one. But, man, that, you know, the Shockers really, really crushed them. You guys could probably speak better to whether that was Wichita State or whether that was K-State. But the Cincinnati win was a good one. I watched the near the end of the TCU game, and that's a game that they had in hand. Like, they were up comfortably with a couple minutes left and kind of choked that one away. So I think it's a team that's still, like, they don't really know night to night what they're going to get out of their Doug McDaniel and Coleman Hawkins, their stars. And, like, they have to be – they're built in a way of his first team. Like, those two guys have to be awesome. And then everybody else just kind of has to be glue guys. And if those guys aren't awesome, then yeah, it's going to be an up-and-down year. And I think at this point, like, if they finished 500 in the league, it kind of surprised me.
CJ, we appreciate your work and your time you give us on our show. Thank you for being our first guest of 2025.
Hey, how about that? Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
That's a big honor, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks again. We take care. All right, CJ Moore from The Athletic talking some college basketball. We'll get a break in. When we return, Brandon Wolf. He's the head boys basketball coach at Valley Center. Hornets off to an undefeated start. They have Derby and a big one coming up tomorrow night. Stay with us.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Top 20 songs from 1975, the week of January 6, 1975. Some Kind of Wonderful, Grand Funk, number 19 that week. Here's Brandon Wolf from Valley Center. The Valley Center Hornets are unbeaten. They have fellow unbeaten team Derby tomorrow night in Valley Center, a clash of Division I teams in the Arc Valley Central Plains Chisholm Trail.
There you go.
There we go. Brandon, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
So you're coming off a pretty unsuccessful season last year, and here you are undefeated with a lot of seniors leading the way. How optimistic are you about this team?
Yeah, I mean, these guys have been a great group to work with. They're great kids. They come in every day, work hard. We have a good balance of some seniors. We have a senior-led crew. With five of those guys that have been put in the trenches since they were sophomores. And then we've got a great junior crew and a great sophomore crew that leads up right behind them in the sense of the depth that we have. So very optimistic with these guys just coming in and grinding it out day to day.
Yeah, you've already exceeded your win total from last year. So kind of in the trenches, how did that happen? Is this a message? This is your second year. Is this a message that you've given to them since you became the head coach that maybe this is the year, or did it maybe even come together unexpectedly?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. These guys, for those that didn't follow us last year, we were in a lot of close games. We were in it in a lot of them. I think 10 of the games we were all within single digits. We were a few possessions away. And our message last year, having these guys, having one senior last year, that really helped with our locker room message and really helped with our toughness. With that and these guys being really close last year, losing some tough battles. Like I said, being a few possessions away here and there to maybe come up on top. I knew with a good off season, which these guys come in and they dedicate themselves. A lot of these guys has a really good off season workouts and get themselves prepared for this year. We knew that if these guys would be willing to play together with the depth that we have, knowing that they're going to have to maybe take a little unselfish role at times, that that with that mindset, you know, we could be a pretty good team this year and be competitive.
Brandon Wolf with us, head boys basketball coach at Valley Center. So just from looking at your team and your roster and your statistics, it looks like you have that balance. It looks like you get contributions from a lot of people. It looks like your backcourt is your strength. Am I wrong on any of that?
Yeah, no, I think you hit it right there on the head on that. You know, we have, you know, a great, like I said, great depth on this team from senior to sophomore. And so, you know, with these senior guys, you know, leading the charge, like I said, they've been thrown in the trenches since they were sophomores, and having that experience at a young age and coming into this season ramped up, ready to go. You know, having them kind of, like I said, lead that way of us going in there and having a defensive mentality to start the games and just kind of the things that we're really trying to get better at day to day. You know, it is nice. It's nice to have that balanced attack where, you know, we play nine guys and we have one that's injured right now that would be our 10th guy that would be able to give us minutes at the varsity level. And having that has been nice and being able to allow that, like I said, balanced attack where, you know, night in, night out, any of those guys could step up and be big for us.
I'm really interested in one of your players, and that's Doc Needham, because you don't hear about a lot of Docs in high school.
Sounds like a character in Tombstone.
Yeah, what's up with Doc? Is that his real name? Yeah. And he's a three-sport guy. So what does he bring to the table?
Yeah, he's definitely a three-sport guy: football, basketball, baseball. He went on and actually committed to play baseball next year in college, so I'm excited for him for that opportunity. But yeah, Doc's Doc's one of those guys that plays with emotion on his sleeve. He's a very emotional player. If you ever get a chance to watch him play, he's very crafty. He's our point guard. He's leading us in assists with almost 5 assists a game. He had last year, he led us in an assist. I think he was upper in the 6 to 8 range assist a game last year. He actually broke our school record last year with 11 assists in a game. He's doing a good job on the scoring front this year. He's picked up his scoring, but he's a guy that's going to get in there and battle no matter what. He's a guy that's the vocal guy in the huddles, and he's motivating these guys to play their best and to stay through some adversity. Whenever we have some adversity through the game, as it's going to happen, having that voice to keep everybody together, this senior crew has done a fantastic job of that and holding us steady as the game goes on.
And you have some other perimeter guys: Colby Newton, Austin Sainer, and then a post player in Corbin Burgess. But let's go back to Doc Needham. How did he get the nickname Doc? What's his first name?
You know, his first name's Caleb, but everybody's called him Doc ever since I met him back when he was an eighth grader when I first started at Valley Center back in 2020. Was at the middle school. He was an eighth grader then, and that's how he introduced himself, was Doc then, and that's how everybody kind of calls him. So that's kind of his name, and that's what it's just kind of I don't know the true whole story about how that came about, but Doc's it. Even though Caleb's his official name, everybody calls him Doc.
I'm going to say he was good at the game operation and go with that.
There you go.
I don't know about that. So you guys already have wins over Andale and Mays South. Those are nothing to sneeze at. What's the challenge that Derby presents tomorrow? What are you looking at on film and seeing with them?
Yeah, Derby's a great team. Coach Floyd does a fantastic job with those guys. They're going to come out defensively ready to go and put a lot of pressure on us. And so we're trying to prepare ourselves for that and just kind of getting ready for it. I know that pressure that they're going to bring to us on the not just at the full court, but even at the half court as well. So, you know, knowing that, having some that is a main thought process going in for us offensively, and they're really good offensively as well. So they bring a lot of guys to the table that can score the basketball, both from three, but also from the paint. And so having our defense locked in, ready to go, is going to be crucial for us, and getting the rebound and be able to get down the floor and push the ball down the floor and try to get some early offense.
Well, an early season big game, one of the biggest we've had in Valley Center in a while. Valley Center and Derby both unbeaten tomorrow night. If you want to get out to Valley Center, you better get there early. I have a feeling it'll be a packed gym. Brandon, thank you. We appreciate talking with you. Good luck tomorrow.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for the opportunity. Like I said, I want to just say this one time, just having this platform, you guys do a fantastic job of promoting high school athletics. So I just want to thank you guys for the continued support for high schools around the state.
We appreciate that.
And while we're doing that, your wife was my daughter's, I believe, first grade teacher back in the day. So there's another connection for us.
That's funny. Absolutely. Yep. Sure enough. I'll let her know.
Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah.
Yep.
I appreciate it. All right. Brandon Wolf from Valley Center. As we continue along on the Bob and Jeff Show in our brand new time slot, 5 to 7 p.m., when the show's finished, I will head up to bed. That's pretty much my bedtime.
Raw.
We'll see about Raw. Might have another movie in the making tonight. I'm on a real roll, man. I need Mike Furches. I texted him last night. Nothing.
Uh-oh. He's usually not a texter. You got to call him.
We'll be back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.